I didn't realize we were going to get a full-blown stray or two there.
That's fine. I'll take that, considering I clicked in on Palazzolo and Sam Monson's, like, hey, who are the Browns going to hire as a coach? And it just turned into them doing 10 minutes arguing about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
So at least Gio got to an answer. I feel like a lot of the places I tune into when they're talking about the Browns coaching stuff, it just turns into, let's yell about Deshaun.
Now, in fairness, I believe Gio has gotten three different versions of an answer on who's going to be the head coach. It was Kevin Stefanski. Then it was going to be John Harbaugh. No, now John's going to Miami, so it's going to be Kevin Stefanski. Now, they're back. I guess it would technically be four.
The Giants job, you mean?
Yeah. No. Wait, what?
Huh?
What'd I say? You corrected me on what did I say instead of Giants job.
You just didn't say anything. You just said Gio just kept talking about it, and then you were just talking.
Bouncing back and forth between the different jobs. For the Giants job.
For the correct. Giants job, yeah. Yes. We were talking Brown's job, and then yes, you switched up on us there for a second.
You're all welcome. However, so I guess there, one, seems like something they would do. I don't care for that, Gio. You're not wrong, but I don't care for that.
Wait, why is that a bad thing if it seems like what they will do is hire one of the best head coaches on the market?
Also,
that should be a good thing. It's like we should reward the Browns. If you land Mike McDaniel, this shouldn't be looked at as same old Browns. This should be looked at as good job.
Yeah, also, guys, at what point do you get credit for the whole Kevin Stefanski thing? It has been 7 years since Freddie Kitchens. It has been 8 years since Hugh Jackson into Greg Williams, then a year later into Freddie Kitchens.
Especially for people like Gio that are trying to get him to the Giants. You can't tell us that you want our used goods and then tell us that we've been basically a dumpster fire throughout that entire process.
Also, while the Giants have had more head coaches than the Browns, I believe three to be exact, since Kevin Stefanski got hired here.
I didn't like referring to Stefanski as used goods, but it's how it came off.
It's fair. I think it's fair at this point. And then the last one is, who's going to be the quarterback? Guys, I think we view the quarterback, and listen, it is fair to say, if you like Cam Ward better than whatever you think the Browns' options are going to be, it would make sense you'd choose the Titans over the Browns. If you like Jackson Dart over the potential of anything. Guys, there's also going to be coaches that don't like Jackson Dart or Cam Ward.
Right, and this gives you a clean slate in a way. And so it might not work in 2026, but you can set yourself up for 2027. I just don't think coaches look at this type of stuff as if they're scared about the quarterback and really the lack of a quarterback for right now. I just don't think they look at it that way. And Sean Payton is Exhibit A with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at the dead cap with Russell Wilson. He looked at everything that was accompanying that and said, okay, it'll take me 1 year to turn it all over. Then we'll be able to draft somebody like Bo Nix, and I'll be able to teach him what I need to teach him, and we're off and running.
And none of this means that changes the fact that at least three of the jobs out there have a quarterback, right? Well, or have a path to a quarterback. The Raiders with Fernando Mendoza, the Titans with Cam Ward, and obviously the Giants in Jackson Dart. But we're turning each one of these quarterbacks into something they're not. None of these are proven. So, and for instance, with Stefanski, I think Stefanski looks at either the Raiders job and the Giants job and goes, I liked both of those quarterbacks. They fit what I want to do. That's a bonus. There probably are going to be head coaches out there that go, well, I don't like either one of those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird how one sided this has been. And listen, I can't paint you a pretty, pretty picture on Deshaun, Shador, Dylan Gabriel, and Dor D for the Browns coaching job, or for the head coach and for the quarterback spot. I think it's interesting again, you know, so that is one take. Gio and Boomer running down the Browns head coaching job and the idea of hiring Mike McDaniel. And then you have Charles Robinson, who called the Browns head coaching job, I'll read it verbatim, one filled with more potential than people realize. I think a lot of people are trying to cast this job in a specific light. And I think if John Harbaugh is at least willing to talk to you, it means he doesn't view it in the same disastrous light than other people do.
Well, so, all right. So part of me with Charles Robinson is that he's always been connected to somebody in the Browns front office.
Mm-hmm.
And so, this is why...
Is it Glenn Cook? Glenn Cook?
I don't know. I don't know who Charles Robinson... I don't know who his person is. But if that happened to be somebody that maybe he gifted a t-shirt to at maybe Christmas time, mm-hmm. wouldn't surprise me.
Does Glenn Cook have ugly Christmas sweaters saying, let Glenn cook?
I hope so. I hope he plays into the name of the highest order.
So I can't tell tell you what my ugly Christmas sweater said, but it was a Cat Williams skit off a bad movie that nobody watched, but that it's a viral video.
Did it show up in the mail on time? You talked about it when you were getting ready to order it for a while.
It did, but my sister bringing her geriatric boyfriend over
Christmas. He's in a wheelchair.
I got none of the... Yeah, so I had to lift him up in his wheelchair.
Nick's 40. It's not like his sister's really old.
My sister's going to be 42 in May. So because she did this, my shocking Christmas sweater... Got
Wait,
no
you have to say
reaction.
How old he is now, because people think I'm just laughing at people in wheelchairs. I'm not laughing at people in wheelchairs. There's a lot of
He's
younger people that have.
Guys.
There we go.
He's 70.
It's not like he was like fighting in the war and then ended up,
It should be noted.
Maybe the Vietnam War.
It should be noted.
Maybe World War II.
That's older than our biological father would be if he were alive. That's older than our dad, Jim, who was our dad, if he were alive. That's older than my mom. That's older than the guy my mom is talking to now.
I love that.
And because of that, no one reacted to my Christmas sweater. Very upset by
it. I like that he threw off. You wanted this big Christmas sweater. Like, hey, guys, laugh at my sweater.
My grandma is a vowed Catholic.
Everyone just focused on the guy that was 30 years older than your sister.
I mean, I've definitely gotten to the point where Mama just laughs off my ridiculousness. So we like that. I wanted to see that laugh. Instead, she barricaded the door and wouldn't let him to be rolled all the way in until there's a pretty intense 5-minute Hungarian argument between my sister and my nag mama.
And then she pops some of those gin soaked raisins.
Yeah,
raisins. Not the Josh Rosens.
It's a pretty good day for Josh, all things considered. Yeah, see, it goes both ways. My sister's right. into 70 year old.
She gets into Josh Rosens.
My 93 year old grandmother's into 30 year old Josh Rosen.
Gin soaked Josh Rosen.
Gin soaked. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's part
He's
of the deal.
He's got a hot tub
it's
of,
part of the
gin.
Deal. Yeah.
The best part is, I think we've ripped the Band-Aid off on this. I don't think Easter can come soon enough. Because I really need to see what's the sequel. Because I think he's going to be able to walk by then. Because he just needs some physical therapy. He just has a back injury.
That's good. So that's good to hear.
I want to see. Does she think it's a different guy? Like my sister's just bringing home different 70-year-old guys?
Maybe she likes it less. Maybe she always had like a Lieutenant Dan fetish.
Oh, you know what the best part is? I did forget this. Now we're just going to air all the laundry. So a couple days later, they come over, my sister and her geriatric friend, boyfriend, I want to put the respect on it, and my nieces, and we wheel him again into the house, and he sits on the top perch on Mongo's rug, and Mongo was pissed. Mongo's like, that is my
Dogs
place.
Dogs know these things,
He
by
also
the way.
Was very anti-wheelchair, and I was like, buddy, love, I think that's problematic.
One thing I love about dogs, they just sense. They sense who's a good person, who's a bad person. I don't even know that this guy's a bad person.
Feels like you're shading the audience belief of the. He seemed very nice, but one, I heard them kiss about four times.
I don't know why that's an response, but it's
And mind you, they've been together about 6 weeks or so.
Okay, they're in the love phase.
Yeah, we're in the love phase, and there was a lot of "you're my forever," and I was like, I believe it for him. I believe he might be being realistic about this because he's 70. His forever and her forever.
Might
Those
be,
are
might be
two
20, might be
different...
25 more years. Might be.
If the comedy gods could only be that kind to me. But the funniest thing is, and so my mom got everybody gifts, and including him.
That's nice of her.
And my mom gave him $50. And I think it was tongue in cheek. But he said, thanks, Mom.
That's a funny joke.
And I almost.
That's a funny joke.
I almost put him into that wheelchair forever. But again, I don't know.
Different situations, you would have loved that joke and you would have laughed at this whole entire situation.
Yes, we're not there with the laughing yet. We're the accepting part. We accept.
He goes, thanks, Mom.
Okay?
That's great.
But when he said it, my initial reaction was, we can make that back injury permanent. We could really
there's
some damage
awareness here that he understands that what's happening is very, it's very Bill Belichick and it probably shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, but at least Bill Belichick was a millionaire.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it probably shouldn't be happening.
But you know what? My sister's marrying for love. We're not there yet. Okay.
It's been 6 weeks.
I'm waiting for the next one, man.
So you're telling me this guy.
She's been divorced about 3 months.
He's not loaded is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted a Bill Belichick situation.
I just would like, my mom keeps, talking to people she's actually interested in as human beings. My sister does this. At some point, if somebody could just marry for love and make my life easier, it'd be great.
You marry for money is what you mean.
Did I say that?
You said marry for love.
Freudian slip. Stop doing that.
You see, you just can't help it.
Yeah. but maybe marry somebody your own age. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. Of all the people you could marry, it's not even the best start. Guys,
he snorted there.
Here's the thing. It's not even the best part.
That's how you know he believes it.
But I can't tell the best part of this whole thing on air. I can. No.
Well, we went this far. You might as well.
You know what? Screw it.
Yeah,
it's
going to
get back anyways.
You went this far.
It's my ex-brother-in-law's uncle. I'm just going to let that one linger. If you guys want to know.
That's why I made the broad assumption might not be the world's greatest guy. That was just a broad assumption.
My brother-in-law, Jeremy, I love that guy. That's my dude.
All right, good.
And his uncle's there, too.
I want to know what he thinks.
Which one?
The brother-in-law. Ex-brother-in-law.
I'm going to say he wasn't happy. I haven't talked to him, but I'm going to say he wasn't thrilled with the news.
That's the family party I want to be at. Yeah. That's the one I want to see.
In fairness, it's been
like a real life Maury. Yeah. It's real life Jerry Springer is what it is.
It really is.
It's way more Springer than it is Maury.
But you know what the funny thing about all of this is?
Maury would sometimes get salacious when he didn't have a DNA test, but it was never like Jerry.
But here's the thing. It's different when it's your real life. Like when it's on, when it's Jerry, you're like, I'm so removed from this. I have no emotional,
Sure. It makes us feel better almost watching that stuff. It's like I watch that Caleb Hammer, the guy that just rips people about their financial advice on TikTok.
Although,
makes you feel a little better in the moment.
In fairness, the comedy of it all has been very good for me too. I laughed a lot. Not at my sister. I just mean like watching my grandmother get that upset was pretty funny. Watching my family try and act like they were supportive of it when they were secretly judging was very funny to me.
I'm shocked you didn't love the thanks mom joke.
I think it was just too
early. That's a really funny joke,
2 weeks from now,
it's
very
really
funny.
Like, at the heart of it is a
but
really
funny.
But
I met you 3 days ago.
Like, that's quick out of him. You know what I mean? Like, that's great.
I still don't know what meant as a joke, though. I think I'm giving him a lot of credit.
Oh, you think like he's like, hey, mom.
I think he didn't know I think he didn't know what to call her. Yeah.
Do you think he forgot her name? Like, what do you mean?
Maybe.
Some people aren't great with names. It's only been 6 weeks.
Just a 70-year-old guy calling my 65-year-old mother mom. There was something in there that was like, this is not great. Steelers, Texans, in a game. Could it be Mike Tomlin's final game? As Steelers head coach, to talk about this and so much more, we head out to the Make It Right Call Kyle Wright hotline. Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us now. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing okay. We're in the middle of a head coaching search, so that's always fun. Do you even remember the last one? Because it's been like 20 years for you guys.
No, I think I was in like ninth grade biology, probably, when they hired Mike Tomlin last time around. So, yeah, it's been a minute.
Do you think this is his last go-around? Do you buy into the speculation that whether you win tonight, lose tonight, whether you win this game and then lose in the next round, that inevitably this will be the last time you guys see Tomlin on the sidelines?
No. I think that was slightly more likely had they lost last week to Baltimore, and the negativity that would have come along with that would have been pretty deafening. But he was on he was on the Rich Eisen show this week and got asked something similar point blank. And he said he's been institutionalized. So that is quite the quote from a guy when it comes to weighing the option of continuing to be a head coach for year number 20 or going somewhere else.
Yeah, it's interesting because now it kind of feels like it's his choice, and it has been the entire time. But a few weeks back, when Steelers fans are chanting Fire Tomlin and booing during the Renegade song, all these different type of things, there's a real possibility it felt like everyone had turned on him. What is that at right now? Did a lot of the fans come crawling back, and what does it look like?
I think some did. I don't know if I would say a lot. But always, to me, guys, the dynamic here was there's a pretty sizable gap between fan opinion of Mike Tomlin and front office opinion of Mike Tomlin. I think it was basically always going to be his choice, what he would want to do. And I don't think ownership would ever fire him outright like we just saw with Baltimore and John Harbaugh. I think if anything, there could be tough conversations had of, hey, is this really still working? Is it time for both of us to get a change of scenery? Why don't you just kind of resign here? Like that to me is basically the worst case scenario that was ever on the table for Tomlin. And I think rightly or wrongly, winning that game last week against their biggest rival probably tamp down a lot of that. But fan sentiment, I think there's a lot that are still ready for a change here.
So when it comes to this game tonight against the Texans, I know the Steelers have a lot of love, right? What I mean is they won their division, so it's not like they're the Panthers at 8-9 here. But yet there's a lot of favoritism nationally for the Texans to win this game. So from the Steelers fan perspective, Steeler media perspective, the big knock has been Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in X amount of years. So how much would this one playoff win buy Tomlin in terms of patience and how people view him in Pittsburgh?
A lot, I think. And this would be 9 years if they don't get it done tonight. That's a really long time. I came into this season thinking, all right, if they win a playoff game with this Aaron Rodgers experiment, I will consider it a successful year. And I won't backtrack on that. I still believe that. If they don't, I won't really give them extra credit for salvaging the Browns debacle by beating the Ravens last week. To me, it would still be a sign of a team stuck in neutral and not really climbing the ladder in the AFC, just basically staying stagnant where they've been since 2017, essentially. So, I think it's almost an all or nothing proposition tonight in that. And, you know, you say they're not the Panthers. They kind of are of the AFC. You know, they snuck in at 10-7, and, you know, there's the Texans are the odds makers favorites for this one. So I don't think it's quite as bleak of an outlook as going down to Baltimore this time last year, or going to Buffalo 2 years ago when they got run out on a rail. But I'm still not real optimistic about this Jekyll and Hyde team.
How much of this game dictates whether or not this is the last game that Aaron Rodgers ever plays?
Oh, that's a great question, and I can't begin to get into the psyche of Rodgers. I mean, I'll frame it this way. Coming into the year, after listening to some of his Pat McAfee stuff and, you know, reading between the lines, I thought there was almost no chance that he would come back for another season. But now, after the way he's played at times and just from being around him in the locker room, interviews, seeing him interact with teammates during games, away from the game, I think there's a real chance that he's going to want to play again next year, maybe even surprising himself in the mindset that he took into 2025 after just a moribund Jets tenure. So whether that would be here or somewhere else, I don't know. I think he's famously complicated and open to different avenues, but I would put it this way. I'm a lot more believing that that could happen than I was going into week one.
Do Steelers fans want Aaron Rodgers back next year?
I think that's another one that's probably baked into how tonight goes, right? If he gets sacked 8 times and he's looking feeble out there and can't move and just gets destroyed by this Texans defense, people are fickle. But you ask me right now at, you know, 5:50 before anything kicks off, yeah, I think by and large people have liked what they've seen from Rodgers and probably feel like it's the best quarterback play they've gotten since pre-elbow injury Roethlisberger. So, yeah, I think the fans are pretty into the Rodgers effect with the Steelers.
How did the Steelers win tonight? Because this Texans defense is so good. I don't know how Pittsburgh scores points.
I think dinking and dunking isn't really going to work, but at the same time, you know, you want to get rid of it quick against Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson coming off the edge. So that makes for a tough recipe, into which I would say I think you're going to need some downfield playmaking by DK Metcalf. I think you're going to need Aaron to drop some dimes, vintage Rodgers, to kind of stress the outside of that defense. And yet their corners are really good too. So I just think you're going to have to try to throw it up there at times and hope your guy's better than their guy. If it doesn't go your way, live with it. But I think if you get too scared, too conservative, kind of like we saw in Cleveland, there's going to be a lot of three and outs, punts, and not really moving the ball.
Which job would you rather see go up in flames, the Browns head coaching job or the Ravens head coaching job?
Well, I guess the Ravens falling off would be better for the Steelers in the long term because they've been ahead of them as a franchise, in my opinion, even though it's kind of like the bizarro Browns-Steelers matchup where the Steelers are far ahead in the grand scheme of things, but the individual matchups are always back and forth. And yet the Steelers own the Ravens head-to-head, weirdly enough, in this division. So from the Steelers' perspective, I would certainly say the Ravens, but I don't think that's going to happen because I think that's probably the best open job on the market.
All right, so do you think Stefanski ends up with the Ravens?
Wouldn't shock me. I don't think that would be my bet, but I think he's a really good coach. I think the Browns may have botched that one, but I don't even know that the Ravens should have gotten rid of John Harbaugh either. I'm kind of a stability guy. Maybe it's, I'm institutionalized, like Mike Tomlin is covering the Steelers.
All right, who do you think wins tonight?
I've got Houston. I think they're legit. I don't think they've won 9 in a row on smoke and mirrors or by beating up on solely bad teams. They won in Kansas City when it was really frigid out in early December, I believe. So I don't know that the weather for a dome team is going to be that much of a factor. I'll believe it when I see it for this Steelers franchise to win a playoff game again. Give me the Texans 20, Steelers 17.
That's right on the line there. I think Houston's a three-point favorite.
That's
all right.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to move one way or another for the hook, 3.5 or 2.5. We've kind of stuck at 3.
Also, by the way, 37 points, the over-under's at 38.5. Are you Vegas? Are you holding out on us there, Brian?
I trust Vegas. I think there's a reason why the casinos are huge there and the hotels are very large. So I tend to go with Vegas. But, hey, this would be anti-Steelers because during this playoff win streak, they've either given up a ton of points or they've gotten blown out. So me even predicting it to be close is perhaps going against recent history.
I just always think it's very telling when the people that cover the team don't have their team winning in the postseason, like in any game, but in particular in the first round. I just think that's always a very telling sign. We've known you long enough to know that you shoot it however you see it. You're not a homer in any sort of way, but like it kind of speaks to me how you viewed the Steelers, fair or unfair, throughout the majority of the season.
Well, I think I've been picking a lot of their games wrong lately. Here's actually a fun fact. I looked it up. I did like my game-by-game preseason predictions, mm-hmm. in early September. If I would have just stuck with every one of those, September Brian Batko, I would have gone 13-4. But picking week to week, stuff like, oh, they certainly won't lose to the Browns. Oh, they're not going to beat the Ravens again. I think I went 9-8 in the season, so take my pick with a grain of salt.
It's just been weird. It's been a weird year, and there's weird things with the Steelers always too. Like even like Mike Tomlin being 23-0 on Monday Night Football games. Like there's weird parts of the Steelers that just kind of exists.
For sure, and the Texans have never won a road playoff game, so there's like a lot of Murphy's Law type of historical streaks on the line here. But yeah, you're right. I shoot them straight. So whether you think that's me being, anti-Steelers or whatever, I guess I would just say I don't usually tell Mike Tomlin to keep his head up after a tough loss. So
yet. This could be the one. This could be the one. We could really take this one hard.
Maybe tonight I should do it and I should get with the trend.
I would say go farther. Give him a hug. See how they go. Just approach him with your arms open and puppy dog eyes. He'll wilt.
I hear he loves that.
He's all bark and no bite.
I hear he loves that.
And then tell him he should take the USC job.
Coach, I don't have a question. Can I just approach the podium for an embrace?
Oh, that's follow up to that Jacksonville reporter from yesterday. And if he loses, try to tell him what a good job and a good season he's had and to keep his head up. He's going to love that.
Yes,
he's going to love that. Yeah.
All right, Brian. Be good, buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Brian.
You too. See you guys.
Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Could you imagine someone doing that to Tomlin? What happened with that Jacksonville lady?
I think you just went a little dust in there.
What do you mean?
That's exactly what Brian led with. He made it. That's where this all kind of went from.
What do you mean? I mean, we were on the same page. How many minutes ago did he make that reference?
That's when I then said you should approach him with a hug. He had just made that reference, and then I was trying to help him build a bit.
No, but the lady in Jacksonville didn't hug him. Are you trying to bust toss me with a Dustin reference there? I heard everything you said. She didn't hug him.
Yeah, no. Brian said the thing about the.
Listen, I might be guilty of just repeating what Brian had said, but there was no lack of paying attention there.
Okay, I believe you.
All right, fine, whatever.
It's just like what Dustin would do when he didn't pay attention, then getting mad when I pointed it out.
I mean, I was looking right at you the whole time,
but you weren't looking at Brian.
I was listening.
Should we get back to my 70-year-old future brother-in-law?
I thought we were riffing here. I thought it was like, oh, yeah, let's all laugh about that, how that wouldn't go.
I think Brian took a little weird, too. That's why the end of that call was a
little
weird.
I also kind of felt bad because he works at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and like he's probably losing his job in like 4 months. So like in the back of my brain, I'm like, should I say gophersteelers.com? Like this is how you get that job?
Maybe you could have done the Jacksonville reporter thing to him.
I wish you'd do the Jacksonville reporter thing to me right now. You know what? Looks like I could use a big hug.
You know
at
what?
The current moment.
JP, I got to say, at we took an L moment. At the end of this segment. But you are a young man of courage, vitality,
yes.
and talent, and I mm-hmm. believe in you.
Thank you. That's all I needed.
Yeah, and we finished number one
not
at the end of last year.
Not you pulled a Dustin. That's what I needed. that's what I needed.
But you also pulled a Dustin. Is Mike Tomlin's job? I reacted like he threw.
I'm getting pretty good at throwing those.
He just threw his papers at me, and I reacted like he threw a couch at me.
I know. For some reason, you think papers are like this big, mighty thing. Oh, no, is a paper cut going
to
get you?
YouTube, cook me. I'm seriously, you guys need to see that.
Someone needs a freeze frame.
I acted like
reaction.
Such a... You know exactly what I acted like. Yep. It starts with B and ends with...
Now you
get
hug.
It.